Chapter 7. Roman Catholic priests devote 2 or 3 months every year to preparing 10 to 12-year-old children for their first communion. They are obliged to attend the church almost every day, memorize the catechism, and must thoroughly understand its teachings. Through this preparation, the Church of Rome lays the very foundation of the idolatries and superstitions which she claims is the religion of Jesus Christ. Besides corrupting the most sacred truths of the gospel through this catechism, she secures for the Pope and his representatives that adoration which is the secret of Rome's power. It is during this religious instruction that Jesus is removed from the hearts for which he paid so great a price, and Mary is put in his place. This great iniquity is so skillfully executed that it is almost impossible for a poor child to escape. This is how Mary took the place of my precious Savior during my own childhood. The priest who instructed us was the Reverend Mr. Morin. He was exceedingly kind, and we respected and loved him sincerely. One day he said to me, "Stand up, my child, and answer the many important questions which I have to ask you." I stood up. "My child," he said, "when you were guilty of wrongdoing at home, who punished you most severely, your father or your mother?" After a few moments of hesitation, I answered, "My father." "Correct, my child," said the priest. "As a matter of fact, the father is almost always more impatient and ready to punish than the mother. Now, my child, tell us which parent punished you more severely?" "My father," I said again, without hesitation. "Still true, my child. The superior goodness of a kind mother is perceived even in correction, where her blows are lighter. Further, when you deserve to be chastised, did not someone often come between you and your father's rod, taking it away from him and pacifying him?" "Yes," I said. "More than once my mother did that and saved me from severe punishment. Now, my children, have not your good mothers often saved you from your father's corrections, even when you deserved it?" "Yes, sir," we all answered. "One question more. When your father was coming to whip you, did you not throw yourself into the arms of someone to escape?" "Yes, sir. More than once, I threw myself into my mother's arms. She pleaded so well for me that I often escaped punishment." Turning to the children, he continued, "You have a father and a mother in heaven. Your father is Jesus and your mother is Mary. Never forget that a mother's heart is always more tender and merciful. Often your sins make your father angry against you. Your father takes his rod to punish you. He threatens to crush you with his roaring thunder. He opens the gates of hell to cast you in. You would have been damned long ago had not your heavenly mother disarmed your angry and irritated father. When Jesus would punish you, the good Virgin Mary places herself between him and you. She obtains your pardon. Thus, my children, when your conscience says you are guilty and Jesus is angry, hasten to Mary. Throw yourself into the arms of that good mother. Have recourse to her sovereign power over Jesus, and be assured that you will be saved through her." Thus, in the Church of Rome, not Jesus, but Mary, represents the infinite love and mercy of God for the sinner. His hope is directed to Mary for his escape from deserved chastisement. It is not Jesus, but Mary, who saves the sinner. The Church of Rome constantly invites sinners to turn their thoughts, their hopes, their affections, not to Jesus, but to Mary. By that impious doctrine, Rome deceives the intellects, seduces the hearts, and destroys the souls of the young forever. Under the pretext of honoring the Virgin Mary, she insults her by outrageously misrepresenting her adorable son. Old pagan idolatry is brought back under a new name.